Hey guys, welcome to the Martial and Healing Arts channel. I'm Rafe Kelly, founder of Evolve Move Play. I'm extremely excited to be sponsoring this channel. Martial and Healing Arts have been key aspects of embodiment and self-cultivation for thousands of years. I have some of my best friends in the industry, Rory Miller, Matt Thornton, Edward Hines, presenting here, and I'm really excited to share what they have to say with you guys. You're gonna love it. So Evolve Move Play is an ecology of practices of movement, mindfulness, nature connection, and community. And within the movement, we have a big emphasis on moving in nature and being able to do parkour. We also like to lift weights and throw things around, but there's a huge aspect of martial arts, and I've been training martial arts since I was 6 years old. So it's really exciting to be able to sponsor this channel in particular. If you're interested in my work, check out my talks on the Main Stage and the Movement Anatomy channel. If you can't get to either of those live, you can check us out at Rafe Kelly on Instagram, get all your awesome embodiment giveaways, and for now, just enjoy this amazing channel. It's gonna be an awesome show.
In Jamie's own words, Jamie has been a lifelong practitioner, pioneer for women's empowerment and applying Aikido, in which she holds a 6-degree black belt, to sports, business, holistic healing, and peace building. She is the creator of Kiai Golf and the Centered Way Incorporated, and is dedicated to bringing Aikido's principles of peaceful power and harmonious interrelationship to mainstream society. With that, I warmly welcome Jamie.
Thank you so much, Sam, and thanks to the entire Embodiment Conference, Mark Walsh, who I've known for 20 years, I believe, quite a long time. It's just an incredible feast, really, of information, of knowledge, of practices, and I hope everyone's enjoying it. I certainly am, and I'm very glad to be here. I did want to mention to everybody, if I seem a little funny, I had a bicycle accident on September 27th, so not quite 4 weeks ago, broke my jaw badly, and it was wired shut. I couldn't actually talk until Monday. I wasn't sure I would be able to do this presentation and one that I'm doing later today. So I'm grateful that I'm speaking. I'm not speaking and smiling my usual smile. There's still some wires in there. And so anyways, just to let you know that, and to also say that you want to talk about getting in your body in an embodiment experience. When I think we all know that when we have an injury or an illness, when something's not quite right with our body, much less in a very traumatic way, I'm actually working through trauma, the trauma of the whole experience. I'm kind of still right in it. But I will say that these practices, embodiment practices, my background in Aikido have really been lifesavers through all this. So anyways, just know that I usually speak a little more freely and certainly smile more, but we'll do our best here. So yeah, glad to be here.
Thank you so much. And to that point, your title, Bring Somatics to the Mainstream, can you tell us a little bit more about why you chose this topic?
Absolutely. I feel that it is so important that what we are doing here and that what so many of us do in our work is able to move out of sort of alternative modalities or, you know, in a sense, preaching to the choir, people who are already into it. How can we get this kind of information, and not just the information, the actual practicing and living in the work we do, in the ways that we parent, in the ways that we live, that we teach, that we lawyer, that we doctor, that whatever it is, that we play a sport, that we're artists, whatever it is, that we're able to bring that into the fullness of what I, in a big generalized way, call mainstream society. Because I just think that we know that we need to move into a more holistic sense and ways of being, where we are integrated, where we bring our full selves, where we're fully present, where we can bring our hearts as well as our minds, we bring our bodies as well as our minds and our spirits to all that we do. And in that way, we really make a tremendous contribution to the people that we work with, the fields that we're in, and to the planet as a whole, which we all know is suffering so tremendously. So I just think it's really very, very important that we're able to kind of bring this out of what so many people to this day regard as kind of new agey or, you know, woo-woo or all that kind of stuff, and say, no, this is who we are. This is how we are. This is how we need to do everything. And this is what's been missing in the world, and how we've gotten to a place of so much division and so much environmental peril, so much conflict. et cetera. So I think that it's just really important that we can play such a critical role in bringing out a really fundamental and massive paradigm shift just by being who we are and being able to effectively, what I call, translate embodiment and somatics to the general population.
And you do so much of that work. It looks like you're in a ton of different sectors, but what's your background and how do you bridge those and connect those together? How have you come to this?
Yeah, well, I have had kind of an interesting incarnation as well as life path, shall we say. So, you know, I was born in the mid-50s and in the Midwest, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And, you know, I just, from the minute I got here, I just sort of knew something was wrong. Something wasn't quite right. And I was, you know, there were no words back then for being, you know, genderqueer or not quite conforming. I was a tomboy. I was very athletic. Athletic from the start. And I started playing golf when I was 7 years old, just because my parents did. And I was a state national golf champion by the time I was, you know, 10, 13, 17 years old, without very much instruction because we didn't have programs at the time. So I just sort of knew, I just kind of had it in my body. At the same time, I had a really good mind. I was, I don't know, doing multiplication and division and long division and writing books like in kindergarten and first grade. So, and you know, I had a very, I just had a good mind and I was just a, you know, loving, cute little spirit. So all of that was going on. You know, I didn't have the words for it at the time, but I later realized that my faculties of mind, body, emotion, spirit were all very alive and that I just had kind of a natural facility with them. And so that has led me to, and I have always had a lot of energy. So it led me to explore a lot of different fields, including golf and sports, all kinds of sports, psychology, I'm a psychologist, business, peak performance, peacemaking, body work, somatics. So, you know, I've been kind of interested in, I always say I was going kind of 25-8 for many, many years, studying and being the student and being the teacher and being the client and being the therapist and all of that. And, you know, for a long time, actually, people thought I was like a little, what's wrong with her? Why is she doing all this stuff? And, you know, but I came to realize that it was really my role, my purpose, which was to kind of explore and get pretty knowledgeable and competent in a lot of fields and then integrate them. So I've been really on this integrative path for many, many years. And so, you know, that has led me, I think, to this. And, oh, I should say that, you know, I stopped playing golf. I went to school at Stanford. I got accepted to Stanford, but it was a couple of years before Title IX had kicked in. So I kind of lost interest in golf and I had a few issues with it from, I would say, kind of the class and race and elitist, you know, dimensions of golf at the time. So I lost interest in golf and then I found Aikido. Aikido was coming into the States in the kind of early mid 70s and Frank Duran Sensei, for those who know him, was teaching at Stanford University. I was super fortunate to get to train with him and I just went headlong into Aikido. And for me, Aikido, I means love, harmony, unity, oneness. We'll talk about that more. Ki is life energy. Do, like the Tao, T-A-O in Chinese, D-O in Japanese. This way of harmonizing with the life energy of the universe. And the beautiful harmonious practice and very athletic practice as well of Aikido and philosophical practice of Aikido and spiritual practice. It was like all in one. And it was a ton of fun. Just captivated me. Yeah. So, you know, I went headlong into Aikido, opened my own dojo when I was 25 in San Francisco. It was actually the first ever women's Aikido school in San Francisco and had opportunities to help introduce Aikido to the Soviet Union during the Gorbachev glasnost era. That was 1987 to 1991. That kind of alerted me to the power of Aikido as a citizen's diplomacy tool, a way to bridge between people who've been enemies, you know, the commies and the Russians and the Reds and whatever they thought of us. And it was like, we got off the airplane, we started doing a little Aikido and training, having fun. And all that went away so quickly. and I didn't really golf for much at all for about 20 years. And then about 20, 25 years ago, my best friend from Milwaukee was visiting me. I was living in San Diego at the time. She asked me for a golf lesson. I said, yeah, sure, why not? So we went to Torrey Pines. I brought my sword, my seven iron. She brought her golf clubs. And I taught it just like, it was like the golf sensei. You know, I'd hear of it in Aikido sensei. The golf sensei just appeared. I was like, you need to be centered and balanced and even and grounded and flow and breathe and relax. And she started making these golf swings. The ball started flying out there. After an hour, she fell on the ground. She threw her clubs and her legs up in the air. And she went, oh my God, you got to teach this to the world. This is like enlightenment. And I thought, oh, that was a lot of fun. And it was so easy for me to bring Aikido into something like golf, you know, which you wouldn't necessarily think about. And that led me into, you know, kind of generalizing Aikido into sports. And we'll go through some of that. I want to share some details of that. But that was really very interesting for me. And then I joined the LPGA and, you know, as a teaching pro, and a lot of things happened. And then the last thing I want to add here is, in terms of the background, is probably about, I don't know, a dozen years ago or so, I was just kind of a little meditation in the morning, and it just sort of wafted through my mind that these principles and these teachings need to get out to people of power and influence. That was the phrase, people of power and influence. And I thought, who are they? And the first I thought of was elected officials. And some of you know, my brother was a California state senator, and he's been, so I've had a lot of opportunity to work with elected officials and all kinds of levels. And then the other part was like, oh, business executives, business leaders. And I thought, how am I going to get to business leaders? And you know, synchronicity, serendipity happens. And I kind of found this guy and talked to him, and I got connected to an organization of over 20,000 CEOs in 15 different countries. It's called Vistage International. And you have to create a program and get it accepted. And a chair of a CEO group has to invite you. And the program I created, I actually don't even remember writing it. And I remember most everything. It must have channeled or something. But I created a program called Stress Less, Prosper More, Effortless Power for Unprecedented Success. And it was accepted in 5 days. I had my first invitation, and I've been speaking ever since for them and for other groups. And it's like, wow, this is interesting. Here I am in the business world, the corporate world. How do I make this relevant in ways that they can absorb and that are useful for them? And I don't come in looking like some, you know, new age weirdo or something. And I've been, I would say, rather successful at that. So, you know, being in all of these worlds, the peacemaking world, the business world, the sports world, as well as the psychotherapy and healing world, has given me a lot of opportunities to what I call translate and to bring these kinds of ideas, to find ways to make them understandable, interesting, relevant, appealing to people who otherwise would kind of look askance or not be interested at all.
Can you, as a translator, because also you mentioned to me last night, you speak 3, 4, 5 languages fluently. So translating on all these levels, do you have examples, just personal stories of this translating work and maybe something that we could try as well from your curriculum maybe?
Absolutely. So what I thought I'd do, I'm gonna start with a golf example, a little bit of golf, and we'll generalize that to sports as well. And then I'll give a few examples in the business world, okay? So for example, how do we make these concepts of ki and I, of life energy, chi, kundalini, which, you know, you don't want to come in and, you know, lead with that to business executives, you know, go like this and feel your kundalini rise. And you know, it's just not going to work. So let me give you an example from golf. Of course, we always have to get up. So I have a golf club here. And, you know, you don't have to be a golfer to do this. This could be a baseball bat. This could be a tennis racket. It doesn't matter what it is. But so what I will do is to, you know, have a golf club and say, so here we are, say in business or in golf, we have a target that we need to reach. So we need to line up to that target. Now we're already talking about introducing the concept of alignment. And alignment then is going to come in, for example, in teams. It's going to come in aligning our head and our heart and our belly, our center. And so we start to introduce these concepts. Now, the question is, I'm always getting a job done, right? In this case, the job that I need to do is to get the ball to the target. So now we can already start to talk about goals and goal setting. Of course, this is something that business people are interested in, golfers, everybody's interested in results. And so that would be, here we have a goal and a target. How do I line up to it? How do I get there? And then there's a big question. And the question is, what makes my golf ball go? Okay, so here I am, what makes my golf ball go? And a lot of people stand there, they're like, I don't know. And they just kind of, you know, engage their muscles and especially their upper body. And they just start trying to hit it hard or swing hard or fast or something. But this question of what makes your golf ball go, what makes your business run, what makes your relationship happen is a very important one. So if we go, and you all can think about this, you know, what would your answer be? You know, what makes my golf or tennis ball go? We go, well, you know, the swing, because I hit it, because there's some force, because, well, my mind, my thoughts, my intention, my, you know, all of these things, the club head speed, these are all the answers people give. And I go, and I always try to be funny and cute about it. It's like, no, sorry, you're all wrong. And they're all laughing. And I go, I'm going to give you an answer. You make your golf ball go. They're like, huh, what do you know? I make my golf ball go. And it's like, well, yeah. I mean, you know, this club's just here. I come by, or, you know, some, you know, Tiger Woods or Lydia go, or some great golfer comes by. That's a lot different. So it's you, it's the person. So then the next question is, who are you? So within, you know, 10, 15 minutes, we're pretty deep. And we joke, you know, this joke about it. Yeah, this is getting pretty deep, pretty fast. But who are you? And everyone's kind of like, they hardly know what to answer. I go, okay, I'm going to give you an answer. Who are you? Who am I? I am life, energy, and a body. Life, energy, and a body. Now, I live in California, so I can joke a little bit and say, yeah, I know, I live in California. I can say something like that. But let's really think about it. When you get born, the distinguishing characteristic is you get a body. That's the whole thing on earth. You get a body. You're born into a body. And we have a little, you know, you want the little baby to, the first thing is inhale, get the lungs working and inhale. And then here you are, this body's moving and it's got a mind. It's got all these things going on. It's got all these systems. Yeah. At the very end of life comes a breath, a last breath. So we have kind of this first inhale, this last exhale. And if we're lucky, we get a lot of inhales and exhales in between. The more we get, the luckier we are. But we could look at life as one big breath. So now all of a sudden we've got, you know, CEOs or athletes, you know, some average old golfer, you know, in the Midwest or whatever, thinking like, oh, that's kind of interesting. My breath, oh. And so now they're starting to get interested in breathing and the fact that they have a body. And that what leaves when the breath leaves the body. The body doesn't work anymore. And not only does the body not work anymore, neither do the emotions, the spirit, the brain, the mind, nothing works anymore. So it's this, wow, this is a really big deal that we have a body. Everything happens with this body. Now, the body, and I usually give them a kind of a spiel about the body. The body's had a really bad rap and a bad rep. By the way, I'm writing about all this in my book, so people get it. But if you really think about it, the body has a bad rap and a bad rap. So what do I mean? The Judeo-Christian ethic is that the body's kind of, you know, dirty, sinful, with sex, you know, whatever. And so we're kind of cut off from our bodies, and we tend to live up in our heads. In the Eastern, you know, master tends to be often the image, kind of a starving rickety beggar, right? Because the physical world is more passing, right? It's not as real or something. It's so temporary. So we don't really have a good image of the body and a sense that we should really connect to ours and be in ours and what would be in our body. There's so much here. So we have to start getting over that. But to be aware that we have very much of a head bias. We're a very head biased society. And even more so than ever these days, right? Because we're walking around on our devices and we're looking at them. We got a clinical condition called device neck now, and thumb syndrome and stuff. And we're just so disconnected from our bodies, and we're not encouraged to be in our bodies. And then when we've had trauma in our bodies, we cut off from our bodies and we dissociate, and it's not a place we want to be. And very few people feel good about their bodies. We all feel like there's something wrong, right? We're too tall, we're too short, we're too fat, we're too thin, we're too this, we're too that, da, 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 da. It goes on and on. But it's like, wow, if the body is the distinguishing characteristic of life on the planet, and it's more than just a vehicle or a taxi, this is where everything happens. Your body is registering everything that's ever happened. It's an incredible library storehouse of all of your experience. You can tap into it, and you want to be able to steward your life energy well, because this is what's making your golf ball go. This is what's making your business run. This is what's making everything happen. So we ought to be pretty present and connected and what I call masterful in our bodies. So you can see, I'm just kind of giving you some examples of how I walk people in to being able to be interested in going to new levels. And I also really interested in, I was like, well, you know, would you like to have some new powers, some ninja powers? Your energy's inside your body. If you start getting good at mastering your energy, you're gonna have abilities that others don't have. This is a true competitive advantage, whether that's in sports or business. Well, now they're like really interested because, you know, everyone's looking for their competitive advantage. I just give you one other example. So in golf, it's pretty interesting. We stand here and the face of the club is going 0 miles per hour. And from address to the top of the, to the backswing, back to the ball, to impact. On a clock, how long does that take? Most people don't know, but the average tour tempo, we'll call it 1 second. Might be a little bit more, but 1.1 second from 0 miles per hour here to there to impacting the golf ball. How fast is that club face going when it impacts the golf ball? So the answer is 80, 90 miles an hour, kind of a, you know, slightly aging woman pro, a teaching pro. Tiger, Annika Sorenstam, all these people, these, you know, young guns who are men and women who are hitting the ball 300 yards and more, they're generating over 100, 120 miles of clubhead speed in 1 second. And that all comes from using their body properly, which is really an interesting thing. That's how much power we have inside when we use our bodies properly. If we're really tense and tight, if we're only using upper body, if we're afraid, we're not going to generate that kind of power. But when we're relaxed, we're centered, we're organized, we're balanced, we're using the lower body and then connected to the upper body, wow. And that's balls flying out there. We are able to generate from inside this body that kind of power, that kind of speed. That's how much energy we have inside when things are working together. So, you know, now people are interested. It's like, wow, you know, I want to have that kind of mastery. What do I do? How do I do that? So I'd like to actually maybe run people through something, a couple exercises, if those are interested. If you want to get up and try them or just watch me, that'd be fine. Sound good?
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. So the first thing is we need to understand about being centered. Now, this is another way that I translate. So I will come into a corporate environment and I show up with my seven iron, my sword, I'll bring my black belt, and they're all like, oh my gosh, what's that all about? The minute you put on black belt, and I'll have people kind of pretend they're tying a black belt around themselves, that they have some mastery, and mastery involves practice and discipline and, you know, all of these things. So it's like, oh, okay. So, and we tend to bow in. So we'll bow. Yeah, it's everybody bow. When we bow, we have a sense of presence. We have a sense of respect. We're going to learn something. And this is a learning laboratory. The dojo, which is the word that we use, actually comes from the Zen word for enlightenment hall. So we talk about that we're going to have some body, soma. Soma means body in Greek. Some somatic enlightenment by practicing. We're going to learn how to use our bodies properly and all of our systems properly. So here we are. First thing is we want to get centered. So we're just standing with a nice posture, and you want to feel your spine is straight. And what's straight or good posture about? It's about gravity. So, you know, we can talk about gravity, but I'll give an example. So I will tend to borrow, I'll ask a CEO, for example, okay, is that your phone? And I'll go, yeah, is it important to you? So I'll borrow their cell phone. I go, well, yeah, of course it's important to them, right? They're like, ugh. They go, well, do you mind if I drop it? So I'll go here, drop their phone, yeah? And everyone's like, okay, that's no big deal. But if I move my hand, say a couple inches lower already, I kind of don't want to drop it. And by now I really don't want to drop it, yeah? It's going to break. Why would it break? Within 2 to 3 inches, 5 to 6 inches, it's already dangerous. That's the power of gravity. Well, now all of a sudden people can think about gravity and get its import. And that when we relax, when we have a good posture, gravity is very, very vertical. It's not sideways. Oh, when we get vertical, we can start to feel our muscles relax. We can start to use the power of gravity. It starts to take us down, what we call grounded. When we are reactive, stress reactive, uncertain, we tend to be up in our upper bodies. We can all kind of feel that. So, oh, just to get a good posture, vertical alignment, connection, and then putting your thumb in your belly button, bend your fingers down. That's where the knot ties in a black belt. Oh, that's what they call hara in Japan, Japanese, or tantien if you do something like tai chi. Have you heard of tai chi? Yeah, a lot of people have heard of it. So these are ways to just kind of bring people in. And now they're already starting to feel their belly. Imagine someone just dropped a bowling ball straight down the center column of your torso. Boom, lands in your belly. So feel that land in your belly, a bowling ball. And notice that, I'm going quickly, but notice that your legs engage. Oh, now I have leg muscles. And oh, can you feel your feet? And I'll ask people to be engaged. What do you feel? Oh, my feet feel more flat on the floor. That's interesting. You know, it's all like interesting. And they feel kind of more connected, more grounded. Do you feel stronger? Do you feel more presence? Yeah, I do. That's so weird. And I love it when people say that's so weird, because then they're starting to tap into some areas that they don't usually tap into. So now they feel their belly, they feel their legs and their feet. That's really great. Clap your hands. Go ahead and clap your hands. This would be a nice straight focus. Yeah. And if we move off the center, that's not the same, not the same. Boom. Everyone can feel that. Put one foot forward and feel like your back leg straight, belly kind of goes into your forward leg. This is a martial arts stance. They're like, oh, cool. I'm doing martial arts. Yeah. And put your hands out there. Clap your hands. This is how you would hold a sword. And feel how your hemispheres of your brain connect, your eyes connect, two are becoming one. We're getting really sharp and focused. You're getting as sharp as a samurai. Yeah, this feels really good. Now you may not be standing like this ordinarily, but let's say you're gonna shake hands with someone. Put one foot forward, bring your belly, your posture, your center, and then extend your hand. Hello, as opposed to like, hey, well, you know, I'm Jamie, I'm really cool, I'm really, you know. No, that's not it. It's like, I'm here. This is a whole different way to meet somebody. Or if I need to speak, this is practice for, I train speakers to be aligned, to be connected, to be present, to be full, as opposed to, I'm a little nervous talking to you folks, or like, I gotta really show you how great I am, or, you know, I don't feel so great today. I'm not sure, I got some bad news for you guys. You're my shareholders. I got some bad news about the, you know, last quarter. And you kind of come in like this, come in like this. I've got some, you know, news that's not so great to tell you. Let's deal with it. Let me tell you what it is. Entirely different how you bring yourself to the situation. So, you know, this is just kind of a little training in that and a little taste, but this starts to make a big difference and people feel that. My friend Elise here. She does Aikido. So Elise, we're gonna practice being strong, all right? Yeah. So what I want you to do actually is you're gonna come underneath my arms like this, yeah? And your job is to lift me up. So go ahead and lift me up. Whoa, okay, she can lift me up pretty easily. Now we're gonna practice, and I like to pair people up so that they're interacting, they're having fun. I'm gonna just have that bowling ball, feel my center, feel my legs and feet, feel my balance, breathe down, think down. She lifts me up, lift, lift. No way. Yeah, all of a sudden she can't lift me up. Yeah, and we'll switch roles. So, you know, put 1 foot forward. Yeah, you're just here. 1 foot forward. Okay. And okay, just find your center. Just down. Whoa, I can't. Whoa, begin to lift her up. Good. Okay, thank you. So, you know, in these kinds of ways, people, and you know, if you have someone there you can practice with, or you just kind of, you can feel that you have an entirely different presence when you're, you know, out here trying to do something or afraid about doing something. Boom, I'm just here. Well, so when we talk about being centered or grounded, what a difference that makes. And we'll try the other side, and we'll practice landing out of an airplane, you know, and boom, land balanced and centered. Or, oh, I'm off center. Oh, find your center. People start to know how to shift into their centered presence. Body language, it turns out, we'll do another practice in a minute, but there have been a lot of studies about body language, which is a big part of leadership or singing or presenting or whatever it is. being on a tennis court, standing at the plate, you know? Body language is so important. And it turns out that the classic study is that 93% of communication comes through body language as opposed to verbal content. That is a stunning finding. And there have been a few issues about that study, but call it 80-20, doesn't matter. The idea is that, and most people know this actually, the vast majority of communication happens through body language, and people are reading our body language. And making determinations. Are we credible? Are we knowledgeable? Are we accessible? Are we someone that I feel good working with or not? Do I really want to hire you? Or are you going to turn out to be a difficult person? Or I just don't have a chemistry with you. This is all happening through body language. Body language is our posture and our presence, you know, ambassador this or whatever. Body language is our gestures, our liveliness, is our eye contact. It's very much our tone of voice, okay? So tone of voice is affected, and we can affect our tone of voice through our body. So I wanna go to another part of the training. I hope these are these connecting with people? I'm hoping.
Yeah, folks are definitely putting in the comments, they love the handshake, offering the handshake, matching that to the samurai and feeling connected and heavy. So please, yes, another exercise would be welcomed.
Okay, I get excited about this stuff, as you can see. And yeah, I mean, I always say I can keep people till midnight, you know, and I usually have 3-4 hours and people are just like, can you stay this afternoon? Can you come back again? They love doing it because they're getting, you know, I think that people learn through, we call it experiential learning, but we learn through our bodies. And when we get in our bodies, we suddenly feel playful and that's a good way that we learn. Anyways, let's go to, this is a very important thing. So we all need to be centered and what we call grounded, yeah? But I want everybody to pretend that you're gonna hit a home run in baseball, okay? So here we go, home run, boom, home run. And then it's like study your movement. And where does it start? Is it bad on ball or is it something else? And go, oh, I don't know, my hips or it's like, oh, my leg, my foot. You know, you watch them on TV, all of a sudden you're watching TV differently. It's like, oh, or the baseball stadium. You lift your foot, you create a base, you push off, and that activates your hips. And that brings your shoulders, elbows, hands, breath, bat, ball, home run. That's awesome. Or if you're gonna throw a ball or be a pitcher, I'm a lefty, a pitcher. Okay, how did that happen? Was it just your arm? No, pitchers actually do taekwondo, so they get these like incredible hamstrings, right? Yeah, and because it's leg, so it's foot and leg, base, powers the hips and center, powers the upper body, okay? Do a tennis, a forehand in tennis, foot, hips, same pattern, yeah? Free throw, it's down, down, down. And then here, we can feel the energy come up from the base through the body. Oh. And then hands are soft, okay? Power through the body, energy. And all of a sudden, people can start feeling energy and feel that. And that there's an order to the movement. We need to use this order. And if everything starts in the lower body, in the feet, and yet most of us are living in our head bias, and we're only up here, we're missing something. You know, there's no... construction companies. You can't build a building without a foundation. There's no second story without a first story or 20th story. And yet here we are doing upper body instead of all this. This is like a total enlightenment to golfers, because golfers are always trying to do this. And it seems in golf like we don't even have footwork. And yet there's a ton of footwork. And once you get that right, everything's moving in order and we can engage the power that comes from the hips and center. So, this starts to become very interesting to people. Let's just try one more exercise right now. It's called lower body, upper body. So here we are. You just take your hands and tap your lower body and all the way down to your feet and just say out loud, this is my lower body. So imagine I've got a group of CEOs or golfers or baseball players. This is my lower body. Great. It's like, how do you feel? It feels pretty good. I got a lower body. Notice your feet are in your lower body. Now upper body. This is my upper body. This is my upper body. Great. Okay. And again, I'm going very quickly, but it's really interesting to hear the whole group. It's like, this is my lower body. This is my upper body. There's a whole different tone of voice in the upper body compared to the lower body. The lower body gives us those bass notes. It gives us credibility. It gives us power. And we're supposed to be like a basketball player, soft and relaxed, or a golfer with the upper body. This is, this is different based on the lower body. If we have no lower body, which I just cut off from my lower body, all of a sudden I'm strained and I'm talking like this and I'm, going at you, and you can hear there's an entirely different quality when I don't have my lower body. But if you go down and just now, there I went. I just went in my lower body. My whole voice changed. So we start to really impact our tone of voice as we get into lower body. This is interesting. We'll just do this one more time. And again, imagine I'm doing this with, CEOs. I've done this with Department of Defense, 400 people in a room, Department of Defense folks, okay? So we're going to go like this and say, this is my upper body. Ready? This is my upper body. This is my upper body. My upper body. How do you feel? Most people say, I feel pretty weird. I feel off balance. I feel weird. I feel screwed up. Let's make it worse. This is my lower body. This is my lower body. And again, I'm going quickly for this presentation, but this is my lower body. It's like, whoa, I feel completely weird and off. So a lot of times we start the day, something comes up, an email, a conversation, a conflict, someone cuts you off in traffic. Next thing you know, your whole system is like screwed up. We are electrical magnetic energy. It needs to be in order. What we've just done, we only changed two words, but we said something not true. The minute we say something not true, not in alignment, words have energy, they're powerful. We're messed up. And then we go on the rest of the day and we never get it fixed. So I bet you all probably want to fix it, yeah? Let's just do it quickly. This is my lower body. This is my lower body. Better. This is my upper body. My upper body. Oh, that sure feels a lot better. Yeah, you guys feeling better? Organized, energy's flowing properly. So again, I'm going quickly, but I'm just trying to give examples. And these are exercises, experiential learning that I've created so that people get that energy's real. It's connected to our thoughts and our language. It makes a big difference in how we feel and we function and we flow. People can actually feel that. So, and then they realize, wow, I could speak better. I could hit a ball better. I could parent better. I could get stressed. So I work a lot on stress. And if you think about that, we'll do one more little example. Elise, if you come here for a minute. So stress is, and why do we use martial arts? I want you to just face me and do, this is called Shomenuchi, where she strikes me. Yeah. And this is an attack. This is a threat. This is a conflict. This is a problem that we're facing. So she's just kind of being that for me. And it's like we feel attacked. So here's one response. I go, help. So this would be the freeze and fear of stress. And it's like, look at how I'm embodying myself. So what if I even have a little bit of that going on and I come to talk to you guys? Like, that's not going to be the best place for me. Yeah. Next one would be, and we fight and we struggle. Yeah, and it's like, well, that takes a lot of energy. Results are very iffy. That would be the fight response. The next one would be the flight response. Help! And I haven't really dealt with my problem. So we can act out, fight, flight, freeze. And I'll have people pair up and do these and notice how they embody themselves and that, oh, that's what's happening. This is how I'm feeling. And then we'll do something different in Aikido, which is what we call blend, to join with. And now we can look at their point of view, hello, and consider from their point of view and their point of view, we have some new flows. We go, why'd you do that? You know, all of a sudden, thank you very much. We start to have a new mastery of our, fight, flight, freeze, fear responses, and we can start to work with them. Again, just giving little examples and going so quickly through them. But now we can start to really go into, stress and fight, flight, freeze and all is a very bodily experience. And we get this whole neurophysiology and biochemistry happens. And can you feel that? Oh yeah, I never thought of it that way. What would be another way to do things? And if I'm centered and grounded and oh, this is all about energy flow. And now we can be talking about energy flow in a way that isn't just sort of, again, I'm to be crude about it, sort of new agey or whatever. But the people are like, yeah, this is real and this is happening all the time. And now they're starting to have some somatic awareness. And I do use words like that, but they have meaning for them because of how we've been going at this. I was just mentioning like parenting, for example. Yeah, you could start noticing when you're just so triggered and actually work on how do you look, sound, and feel? I ask CEOs, how do you look, sound, and feel? And we go through it when you're in your negative stress. And there's positive stress when we're really energized, we're alert, we're focused, we're on fire. That's great when we got that going on. And then we also have our kind of nice equilibrium state and we have our reactive states. And they have emotions in them, they have biochemistry in them, and they have sounds in them and body language in them. Maybe you could stop for a moment. What if you stopped as a parent and got centered and grounded? And you're, this is my child. There's other ways maybe to deal with what's going on here that would be more beneficial. I am a big proponent. I love working with kids. And my dream would be that we would have this kind of education in first grade. So what if when you're in first grade and you're learning reading, writing, arithmetic, what if you learned I am life, energy, and a body? And I'm in charge. This is what energy feels like. And I'm in charge of my energy. Yeah. And it has, I have four faculties, my mind, how I think, my feelings, my emotions, my body, and my spirit, the stuff I love, what I'm really motivated and passionate about. And then you learn how this system works because there are, we kind of call them mechanics for the magic, centered, grounded, relaxed, aligned, so that you can be in states of flow. And when we get stuck, how we can shift to those places, shift in our bodies and shift our minds, our emotions. There's a lot of work on kind of the somatics of emotion and different mindsets. It's really, really interesting. And, body, mind, emotion, spirit are so interrelated. And we've tended to try to change our minds, have a better thought, or change our emotions. And I mean, I've been a psychotherapist for years. I can tell you, you can go to a therapy for years and I'm all for it, but it's hard to change how you feel. And what if we changed our bodies and we got in this place where all of a sudden we can be much more open. Our mind is calmer, our emotions are calmer. It's amazing how we can have a new thought. It's like, I might be like, oh God, my cat just died. And it's like, all I can see and think, my cat died. And I just feel so sad and terrible. It's like, oh, well, what if from this place, God, my cat just died to like, oh, okay, I'm centered, I'm relaxed, I'm here. I go from, oh, I'm so upset to, I'm upset my cat died. God, I'm grieving, I'm just heartbroken. But you know what? I still have to go to work. That's not the only thing in my life. And I'm not ready for another cat. Maybe someday I will, but from this place, it's like, oh God, my cat died. Hi, I'm Jamie, my cat died. That's all I have to say. So when we change our body, all of a sudden we notice we can have a new thought, a new feeling, new possibilities open. So I think it would be fabulous if we could teach our kids, in first grade and outfit them with understanding that they are life, energy, and a body, and that all these things interrelate. They're very real. You can feel them. And then you start to know how to, whatever it is, you want to pick up a paintbrush, you want to pick up a guitar, you want to pick up a golf club or a baseball, it doesn't matter what it is, you want to build a business or bake a cake. This is how things function. And we can unify ourselves, harmonize ourselves with that. I'll say one more thing about, I always talk to in business about three H's, health, harmony, and happiness, and that they underlie peak performance. So we know we need health. And, you know, going through an issue right now, boy, do you need your health. And when we don't have it, we really appreciate our health. When we want to be in the office and not in the doctor's office and that sort of thing. And happiness is so important. It's like a fountain of energy compared to, you know, if we have sad, mad, afraid, fearful, and glad, and we go through all those, and happy is like, we always think we're going to get happy when we get this thing that we want. But it's like, what if happiness is the way to get there from an energetic place? And then we're more connected with others, connected with ourselves, we're energized, et cetera. And then harmony. And harmony is a word, you know, the I, the love, the harmony in Aikido, or the heart, that we can kind of think is a little soft or mushy or whatever. But it's like, hey, harmony is in a good football team. You watch a good football play, a good soccer play. It's like, wow, everybody's doing their job. Everything, you know, it's all coordinated. And throw, score, connect. Otherwise, you have a broken play. A symphony has harmony. Teaching, you know, learning to drive a stick shift, that's harmony when you drive your stick shift properly. Otherwise, you strip the gears. You don't roll along very well. So, you know, harmony starts to be a very practical word. And then how do we achieve that? And how much better do we feel when we're in harmony within our body systems and then with others that we're with? And it doesn't mean that we're, you know, just agreeing, but it means, oh, there's a harmoniousness of the parts moving together. So it's things like this. So what I guess what I'm trying to give is examples and to encourage people, inspire people maybe to be creative. I've made up a ton of this stuff. I mean, I could go on for hours with more examples to illustrate how to bring this to people, and to just be creative and to really see how can you find a language and the things that interest your audience and the kinds of results that they're looking for, because people always want benefits and results that make a positive difference in whatever it is they're doing. Then they're interested. Then you can find ways to and introducing the kinds of concepts that we work with, our bodies, our energy, etc.
Thank you. I'm just going to briefly, really fast. You've helped translate this work into so many facets and sectors of life. I'm just going to name what I heard throughout the session. There's business, there's sports, there's somatic psychology, psychotherapy. You also mentioned education and parenting, as well as peacemaking. But all of it has this base, this philosophy that you've brought, which I think is so beautiful. I would love for you to answer this question from Laura, which is even broader than that somehow. Laura asks, historically in Western culture, maybe we treat the body as something to be hidden or denied, also like you said, but in modern times, she feels we've gone fully the other direction, almost in like glorified the material in very hedonistic ways. And so would you be able to share some thoughts about how using somatics, we can help people focus on those important goals, like broad scale, rather than pursuing temporary comforts or reproducing unhealthy patterns? Big question.
Well, I think we have to really know and trust that when the things are whole, that they aren't only material or only spiritual, and that those aren't even different. Those are on a spectrum. Quantum physics shows us that, you know, particles and waves are really just different states. Ice and, you know, flowing water, it's still water, right? It's the same thing. And so I think that when we can start to sort of, in that bigger way, expand our minds and to look for the oneness, what in the Chinese call the 10,000 things. I always love that phrase. The 10,000 things is there is this diverse multiplicity of expressions of a oneness. And I was listening to Ken Wilber the other day, you know, we have so much division and that the dichotomy, dualism, division, and that we need to really come into that wholeness. we come into wholeness when we go, oh, these are universal things, that we have a body, that we have a breath, that we have energy, and that this, someone was showing the rings on a tree and the rings of our fingerprints, so that there is a reflection of our human selves and our human nature in nature itself. And as we start to really come into more of that kind of sensibility, and that there's an order to things, like there's a lower to upper body order, and we go, wow, this makes a really big difference, and I function better and things work better. And it's, yeah, there's a nice philosophical and moral and ethical dimensions, which is really great. And it works better. Everybody wants things to work better. We want life to work better, our lives to work better. We want our relationships and our projects and our sports and our songs to work better, our creativity. And of course, we want our country and our society and our civilization to work better. So, you know, I think it's kind of looking at it from those dimensions and also noticing that there isn't necessarily a dichotomy between getting good results and doing things in what we might call a good way. So I don't know if that answers your question, Laura, but I think that it's really about orienting ourselves and really rooting that in our bodily experience, because everything is going on in our bodies, our heartbeat and our flow and our breath and our movement and our thoughts. And there isn't anything that's not going on in our bodies.
Can you share a story or example from when maybe you didn't have the mindset that something was whole and then come to realize later that it was and how it helped you?
Well, just to go to say training across borders, to get a little of that in there. So training across borders is a project that I'm on the board of Aiki Extensions, which is extending these principles. And I consider the principles of Aikido to be very universal, kind of generic. But you know, we wanted to get Palestinians and Israelis together, Greeks and Turks, Serbs and Bosnians, people in literal warring conflicts. And you know, it's even difficult to get together geographically. We went to the UN buffer zone. The first time we did the UN buffer zone in 2005 between Greek and Turkish Cyprus, like a neutral place that everybody could actually go to. And then it's like, uh-oh, what's gonna happen? Like, you're my enemy, I'm scared of you. And we got all these stereotypes, kind of like the Russians and Americans back in the, you know, kind of the Gorbachev era. And, you know, it, coming from that mindset and feeling the fear, and the wariness of each other. And then, you know, just starting the practice of Aikido. In Aikido, we blend, we join, we don't fight and spar and combat, we join with. And people love Aikido. So doing something that we commonly love, people do that when they do a play together or an orchestra or, you know, whatever, something that they have a common passion for, working together. And then, you know, we would eat together. It turns out that Middle Eastern food, you know, is a Palestinian hummus or Israeli hummus, you know, and line dancing and mixing up. And you don't know, God, all of a sudden I'm holding hands with someone who's my enemy, but we're dancing and we're moving. Then we put on the Beatles and Pretty Woman and yeah, just doing these things that really bring out our commonality, but in a physical way. And not just talking about it. Yes, we're all one. We're all the same. We all blah, blah. No, it's like we start dancing and eating and moving together and having fun. Yeah, and it's like, oh, what do you know? You really are. You are human. And all of a sudden you can feel the fear and the tension and the division in the mind and the body kind of dissolve and melt in a very real way. And it's so powerful. And all of a sudden you start caring about these others. And go, oh, that's so others. They're different, but they're not what I thought they were. And I'm not what they thought I was. Well, that's a big relief. And we start to join and have commonality. Then we can start to make some progress in peacemaking and cross the borders in our minds, in our bodies that have been keeping us apart.
Thank you, Jamie. Just reminding us those lived shared experiences on the physical plane are so many places where we build those relationships and connections with each other.
Yeah, I know we're running out of time. I have two quotes I have to share. And I should have done it in the beginning. But so one quote, and I share this with everybody I work with, it doesn't matter what realm they're in. And it's a quote from Albert Einstein. So Albert, we think of as a brainiac, right? He was like the smartest IQ in the world. And what Albert Einstein said was, learning is experience. All the rest is just information. Learning is experience. All the rest is just information. I think that is unbelievable. So here's the brainiac of them all saying, that's just info. Oh, experience, in which takes us into our bodies, is what it's really all about. Shakespeare said, by my body's action, teach my mind. That's from Shakespeare. By my body's action, teach my mind. And Henry Ford said, I hired employees and people showed up. So it's like, you know, we're going to, what's this people? What's this person that I am? As we were talking about. The last thing I just want to say is, you know, we talk a lot kind of in our world about practice and, you know, in your practice and in my practice. And yeah, but if you ask an athlete about practice, they're thinking about batting practice or hitting balls on the driving range. Practice has a whole different kind of meaning in a sense. But I like to take people into Aikido, right? I is harmony and heart, full thing, love and unity and all. Ki, now we are understanding energy better. And there's some other ways I work with energy to get that across to people, but ki. But now they're starting to relate to it. And Do. And Do means the way. T-A-O, the Tao, or D-O in Japanese, the way. But I would say, you know what, look at that. D-O sure looks a lot like do in English. And so now it's like, you know, you got to do this stuff. So we talked about a bowling ball or a grounding or, you know, this. Do it. You want to do it. And we try to make these things very doable. And the thing is, it takes the brain, when you start doing something, right? A, A, B, B, C, C, you got to do a lot of reps of them. And at first it's really hard. But as you do that doing motion with the body, your brain is growing these little dendrites. And then the more you do, those dendrites grow and they connect. And then we have what we call neuromuscular pathways. Well, that's a 21 to 30 day process. Why we need to practice things till they start to become, to create those neuromuscular pathways, to create new habits or whatever. And so this is about doing. And now we can get people engaged in practicing, in doing something. And I think we need to make practices very doable, which is really fun to do. I've had a lot of fun creating a lot of doable practices. but now, you know, again, getting the buy-in, just getting their buy-in, getting their interest, and getting them to know that this is going to have real benefits for you. Okay, now I'm interested. And you got me, you know, I was like, huh, I'm going to be a ninja. I'm going to have some new competitive advantage powers. This is, yeah, you know, bring it on. I'm interested.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And it's super clear. The practice is not done. The discussion is not over. And the doing still has to happen. So please, you can do so many of these things. You can join our coffee sessions. You can join our Facebook group. You can continue this learning in your way. Obviously, the full library is the way to go. I need to rewatch this. So much was said. And know that after the conference, it's going to be twice as expensive. And obviously, we want you to have this information. So if you do work professionally in trauma, please email the conference so that we can have more purchase details and options for you, because this information is valuable and we want to make it accessible. Obviously, your contribution also helps. The live conference is freely available to anyone, anyone. And that's an incredible thing that I've really liked about this conference, but it includes folks purchasing and contributing and donating. And if donating through a purchase is too much, we also have other donations and charities to help fund this huge event. And it is also a thank you to the absolute army and hosts of people that have dedicated their time and efforts and capacity to put this on and make this happen. Your contribution does help. We appreciate it greatly. We also now have gifts available. If you want to gift this to someone, it does make a difference. Thank you so much for being and joining with us today. Jamie, just amazing as usual. I was really excited to volunteer for this one. I made sure I was here. So thank you so much. You can learn more about her work through thecenteredway.com, which we're adding in the chat. And to close, Jamie, in one sentence or less, please, what is your top embodiment tip?
I wrote it down. To center in your hara and your heart, and then quickly enjoy presence, realness, connection, our commonality, and your own clarity and confidence. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Beautiful.
And I will be going more into the psychotherapy and bodywork aspects of this and applications at, I think it's 9 p.m. Pacific time, but that's later today.
I will be there as well. On this channel, Marshall and Healing Arts, the next session is meditation through movement in the moment with Dean Juhan. So please join us for that. And thank you so much, Jamie. Everyone, take care.
Thank you, everyone, for being here.